of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Midday News for Monday, October 25. In the headlines, the much-anticipated potential DLP candidate for Grand Bay, Julian Packett, humbly declined, saying health issues and family concerns are a bigger priority right now. Antigua's Met office says an excessive heat watch is in effect for Antigua and Barbuda from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. from Tuesday to Saturday, as low-pressure systems are expected to traverse the North Atlantic. And California sees some of its worst weather in years as wind and rain lash the Pacific Northwest in a phenomenal bomb cyclone blamed for flooding and rock size in California and two deaths in Washington State. The news is brought to you, compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Hassle-free loans for your every need. Courts have you covered, best believe. Courts ready cash is for everyone. Not to worry, fast approval. Hurry up and come, come, come. We got it all.
Ready cash. Ready when you are.
The first ever MRI service on the island was commissioned at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital Friday morning. Hospital CEO Dr. Dexter James says DCFH is the only hospital in the OECS territory that owns and operates an MRI service in its public services. The equipment is valued at over $1 million and will be ready for use next month.
So what does this mean for patient care? The big word is access. Access to early detection. Access to early diagnostics. This facility also significantly improved access to diagnostic studies for patients who seek care in both the public and private sectors. So all techs have been trained up to do the basics right now of head, spine, trunk, and joints. We had 29 patients booked as volunteers for this training. As at yesterday, we had just about 21 patients done. So we'll continue to have patients studied next week. We believe by mid-November, we'll be ready to receive appointments for the MRI service. We are at the final stages now with the ministry in working out the fee schedule to make sure that we are on good footing before we launch the service. So by mid-November, we'll be ready to roll out the service to now make it available to the private sector and certainly inpatients as well.
CEO of the Dominica China Friendship Hospital, Dr. Dexter James. Meantime, Hospital Medical Director Dr. Ruby Blas says in terms of patient care, the hospital can provide good quality service at an affordable price. Patients have been assured that the proposed fees will be at least 20% lower than that paid within the region.
The service fee is yet another key component of the new business model. We have developed a fee structure that is based on three tiers. One for the Dominicans and OECS citizens, another level for the CARICOM nationals or other CARICOM nationals, and a third for international patients. Fees collected from services will be used to support the maintenance of the equipment and the uptime. In all of this, how can the public play its part in supporting this business model? And the public's role is quite simple. Pay your fees on time and maintain your schedule appointments.
Hospital Medical Director Dr. Ruby Blah. Meanwhile, Minister for Health Dr. Irvin McIntyre says over the past couple years, the significant investment has been seen in healthcare infrastructure and services all over the island. He says with the introduction of the MRI services, the diagnostic capabilities will be significantly improved.
And this will obviously result in better patient outcomes. The reality of having MRI services on island has many other benefits. We no longer have the expense of traveling to other countries for an MRI. Also, the unnecessary cost of accommodation, transportation, and just the mere inconvenience of having to leave your home for such services. This money will now be spent in Dominica. An MRI does not only give you a clearer and better picture to aid in the diagnosis, but there is an added advantage of less radiation for our patients. Our endeavors to improve healthcare in Dominica will continue, and no effort will be spared in doing so. Let me take this opportunity to extend our deepest thanks and appreciation to the People's Republic of China for such a generous and timely gift, the Dominica China Friendship Hospital. Not just the structure, but the equipment as well. We will forever be grateful This is really what friendship is all about. And we look forward to the continued improvement in our relationship as well.
Health Minister Dr. Irvin McIntyre. The much-anticipated and demanded potential MP for Grand Bay, Julian Packett, has declined that candidacy, saying health issues and family concerns are a bigger priority right now. Packett is known as an all-round people's person who was identified not by his own doing or intention, but rather the community is said to have voiced that call. Speaking in an official release, he said that after listening to his wife and taking into consideration his health and wanting to be around for his family, it was wise to decline the offer for the candidacy being advocated by the people of Grand Bay.
And my wife feels that I need to stay focused on my health and forget about the whole political landscape. I know I get a lot of support and a lot of people like the idea for me to be power rep and everything, but I have to drop out of that race. I have to just forget about being power rep and concentrate on being healthy, because I really want to be around for a long time to make sure I take care of my family and take care of my son. And so thank you for all, you know, the glorious things and everybody saying, yeah, best guy for power rep and everything. But like I said, remember that was never confirmed. You understand? No political party never approached me and tell me, yes, we want you for a candidate. I mean, the people were the ones really calling for that and putting posters up and, you know. I know some people might feel disappointed, yes, but health is wealth. And for my family and my very good friends and those people who really care about me, of course, would support that I focus on my health.
He says he will continue to help develop his community, and now is the time for the decision makers in the political landscape to make their choice, and that working together as a people is key.
So the best thing now is for us, you know, for the whole constituency, the Love Granby, to kind of, you know, be quiet, be calm, you know, let the decision makers and the political landscape decide on who is the best candidate, and let's support the idea of developing our community as best we can, you know. Everybody have a different potential level, everybody have a different skill. I believe if we pull our skills together as Granby people, we can make Granby shine.
Julian Packett. Dominica joined the rest of the world in celebrating United Nations Day 2021. UN Day has been celebrated since 1948 and marks the anniversary of the entry into force of the UN Charter in 1945. To commemorate the UN 76th milestone and the 43 years of membership in the UN since 18th December 1978, we announce that the countries join across the globe to commemorate UN Day 2021. The UN team is committed to supporting this region and building resilience. Under the UN reform, a new approach to delivering as one provides more innovative and tailored support to each country, including work through the various UN agencies, the United Nations Development Programme, UNDP, Pan American Health Organization, PAHO, Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, World Food Programme, WFP, and the International Organization for Migration, IOM, who are resident in Dominica, and those based regionally and internationally supporting efforts towards the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals. Mr. Didier Trebuck, United Nations Resident Coordinator for Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean, speaks to us.
What kind of future do we now see? This is the question we must ask now to ourselves. While the past 19 months have been daunting, it has revealed our shared humanity and taught us that unity and solidarity is truly the only way forward. It cannot be business as usual. Hence, we are all compelled now more than ever to be nimbler, more adaptive, and certainly more inclusive in our responses. Greater solidarity and a reinvigorated multilateralism to address the global challenges such as climate emergency are critical. The UN team for Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean is committed to supporting this region and building resilience to leave no one behind. Under the UN reform, the new approach to delivering as one provides more innovative and tailored support to each and every country. Resilience building is at the core of our cooperation agenda to ensure that countries like Barbados, St. Kitts and Nevis, Antigua and Barbuda, Grenada, Dominica, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and all Caribbean seas can build back better, build greener and stronger, truly leaving no one behind.
Still on the local scene, 55 students of the Tetmon Primary School were awarded learning devices Friday afternoon by the Ministry of Education, followed by a donation of 122 Granby Primary School students. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett says this is a commitment that the government has given to invest in the island students. The government has also done so at the secondary and college level. He says by the end of November, every single primary school child will have access to a device.
And that's a commitment that we're giving to our students. And you know the cost of these devices. And some of you who are on Amazon shopping online, you also have prices on devices. And so we all know the cost of it. And so it's important for us to show appreciation for these devices by ensuring that our children use them for the purpose and that they can learn. Our thanks and an expression of gratitude that we want from you is to hear that every child in Tetmon is doing well, is excelling. That is our gratitude that we ask for. I want to thank the principal and the teachers and to wish them well. Our responsibility as teachers is a huge one, but a noble one. Teaching has become increasingly difficult, but we cannot give up. And we have to do everything possible to ensure that every child in our care learns and learns well and excels.
The Prime Minister says, should all go well, the construction of a new primary school for Tetmon will start in 2022.
And so we look forward to the school. And I have seen the conceptual designs of the school, and it will certainly enhance the ambience in Tetmon, but very importantly, it will create a very conducive environment for learning. And what we have done, Madam Principal, is to ensure that adequate provisions are made for yourself as a principal and for your teachers, because sometimes we build facilities and not pay attention to those who are providing the service. And we ensure that in these new schools, adequate provisions are made for the principal and the teaching staff.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett. Meanwhile, Education Minister Octavia Alfred has announced that the government of Dominica, through the Ministry of Education, has acquired 2,984 devices through a program sponsored by the OECS and another 1,000 devices as part of a program sponsored by the World Bank.
We are in the process of acquiring additional devices, which are expected to be available towards the end of the year. The entire community of Tetmon has internet access, and we are happy that the distribution of devices will ensure that our students will be able to access their classes online. Let me pause a minute to tell Tetmon Primary that your school is coming. We had to find a new location, and we did. We had to secure funds, and we did. You have waited patiently, and trust me, your wait will be worth it. The main structure is divided into two single buildings, a two-story teaching block and a one-story auxiliary building. In addition to your classrooms, you will have a canteen, early childhood center, teacher's office, sick bay, computer room, principal's office, counseling room, and a library. I tell you, it will be worth your wait. You will have a modern learning facility.
Education Minister Octavia Alfred. Hospital CEO Dr. Dexter James says while he is not a Dominican, he has been charged to lead the transformation of hospital services and oversee developments here at the Dominica China Friendship Hospital. He says while it has been just 2 months since the Minister of Health installed his board to lead and provide oversight to the development of services in the country, the hospital management team has been working tirelessly to continue to maintain a safe environment of care and sustain services to the public. He revealed the names of the hospital's new board of directors on Friday.
Permit me to recognize members of this new board at this time. The chairperson of the board is Mrs. Jennifer Estefan. Deputy chairperson is His Excellency Mr. Elwood Williams. Other members of the board are Dr. Donald Peters, who is here with us today, Dr. Cyril Robinson, Ms. Joan Bellot, Mr. Jeffrey Batiste, Dr. Gail Defoe, Mrs. Colleen Felix Grant, Mrs. Verna Royer, and Dr. David Johnson, Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Ruby Blair, Hospital Medical Director, and yours truly are ex-officio members.
Dr. James said during the past 8 to 10 weeks, the hospital management team has had to address many challenges around the surge in COVID cases presented to this hospital. Many administrative and clinical protocols were implemented with purpose at existing facilities, all in efforts to ensure the safety standards for staff and patients were maintained.
In so doing, we were able to successfully reopen our operating theaters for elective surgery, and all our outpatient service clinics are now operating on a full schedule, albeit with lower numbers of appointments and under strict protocols.
Hospital CEO Dr. Dexter James. On Thursday, a daughter of a mother who recently died as a result of COVID-19 complained to the media that she and her family were not being allowed by NIFA to view their mom's deceased body and get closure. Speaking to Q95 News on Friday, attorney Tiani B. Hansen, who is a legal representative for the Northeastern Funeral Association, claimed that this is a lie and that the family sought to make demands for a special arranged viewing.
Well, that's not true. I mean, first of all, I only got involved in this as an attorney the evening of the 2020. Prior to that, and prior to the court action that we see with this injunction, The actual representative that the family had was, in fact, Mr. Geoffrey Layton. So that is who Northeast Funeral Services was dealing with. And there was an arrangement made between the chief environmental health officer and the family, and that was that they were able to see the deceased loved one, and that arrangement was made with the lawyer involved. I hadn't been involved at the time. And they then attended, saying, well, they wanted an upscale, they wanted the curtain pushed, and they wanted a full, proper viewing and preparation of the body, which could not be done because of the restrictions placed on Northeast Funeral Association from the Environmental Health Department.
Attorney Tiani B. Hansen. And as reported earlier, the Dominica China Friendship Hospital saw the commissioning of the facility's MRI machine. Speaking at the ceremony, Director of Medical Services, Dr. Ruby Blah, gave insights into the commissioning of the MRI services and how the facility intends to develop and sustain these services within the framework of the hospital's new business model.
Is another historic moment in the continued development of hospital services in Dominica, the commissioning of the long-awaited MRI service. And for those who may not know, MRI stands for Magnetic Resonance Imaging. I am pleased to announce that the Dominica China Friendship Hospital has now commissioned its MRI service to meet the needs of not only Dominica, but CARICOM countries and beyond. The journey has been a long one, but we have endured, and here we are today. Over the past 6 to 8 weeks, we've completed activation of the machine by the GE engineers, which culminated this week with user application training of 4 radiographers. This training was conducted here at the hospital by a GE applications support specialist. Our technologists have been exposed to conducting studies of the brain, spine, joints, abdomen, and pelvis. As their knowledge and experience levels develop, we will expand the menu of studies to perform much more advanced and sophisticated studies.
She outlined the principles in which the hospital authority has made the radiology services of the facility a more sustainable one.
Secondly, the sustainability factor is built around the following principles. The radiology department must be developed as a corporate business unit, not to make a profit, but it must adopt a more business-like approach to its service. This includes how patients are booked for appointments, a better customer service experience, and the adoption of more flexible arrangements of working. The department must move towards reducing and maintaining waiting times for inpatient and outpatient services to acceptable standards. And I must share with you that our CEO has been relentless at encouraging the department to launch a Saturday service geared especially for private patients. I am aware that he will be meeting with staff of the department to work out the details. So to the doctors in the private sector, please listen out for the launch of this Saturday service.
In other news this afternoon, an excessive heat watch is in effect for Antigua Barbuda from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. from Tuesday to Saturday. The Antigua Met Office says low-pressure systems are expected to traverse the North Atlantic and cause an interruption of the wind flow across the area, resulting in favorable conditions for warmer-than-usual weather. The combination of light winds, heat, and humidity will likely result in the heat index or feels-like temperature threat rising to high levels with the potential for extensive impacts. Excessive heat watch is issued when conditions are favorable for an excessive heat event, heat index of 38 degrees Celsius, 100 degrees Fahrenheit or higher, and the mean wind speed of 18 kilometers 11 miles per hour or less in the next 24 to 72 hours. In this case, there is the potential for the heat index to rise above 41 degrees Celsius or 106 degrees Fahrenheit. This level of heat puts everyone at risk for heat illnesses. However, the risks are greatest for the elderly, young children, people with chronic illnesses such as breathing difficulties, heart conditions, or psychiatric illnesses, people who work or who exercise in the heat, homeless people, and low-income earners. And the storm system of historic proportions is slamming the Pacific Northwest. The phenomenon known as a bomb cyclone because it brings a massive amount of rain and wind in a short period of time is being blamed for flooding and rock slides in California and two deaths in Washington state. David Begno reports.
What we're seeing right now is water receding pretty rapidly. That's the good news. No major damage to property or people. But let me tell you, this storm has lived up to everything they said it would be in terms of rainfall and how much they'd get. This Sacramento area hadn't had rain in more than 200 days. They just set an all-time record.
It has been a monster storm, uprooting trees, flooding rivers in Northern California, and turning creeks into mud-filled rivers. In San Rafael, just north of San Francisco, there were more than 300 calls for help from fire or police. That's four times what it is normally. Across the region, officials say they may not know the full extent of the damage in those burn areas until later today.
With the rains and winds coming through, it's anyone's guess on what's going to occur.
Now look at this. That big truck was almost pushed over by strong winds on a bridge just north of San Francisco. And on the world-famous Golden Gate Bridge, gale force winds actually caused vibrations that created this eerie whistle that you could apparently hear for miles. Listen. Farther inland, a substantial landslide shut down this major highway in the same area as this summer's massive Dixie Fire that happened just north of Sacramento. Closer to Sacramento, in the town of Carmichael, there were roads underwater as of late Sunday. More than 5 inches of rain fell in California's state capital, breaking the previous record that was set back in 1880. Meanwhile, up in Washington state, this road east of Seattle was closed after a tree fell and crushed a vehicle, killing two people.
All I can think about right now are their families. Something like so random is just awful.
So the rain will stop here shortly. Southern California will feel the impacts later today, but the rain will be much less in terms of the amounts falling down there. Just to give you an idea for context, rain is such a big deal here because they get it so little. I remember I was a local news reporter here. My very first day on the job, they said, you're going to cover the rain. And I said, the rain? You actually cover the rain here? We cover rain in Louisiana, where I'm from, when you get a hurricane. And they said, oh, no, when it rains here, it's a big story. So you can imagine when you get a rain that sets a record, it's not only a big story, but folks here are very happy to see it.
And that's the midday news. But first, a recap of our headlines. The much-anticipated potential DLP candidate for Grand Bay, Julian Packett, humbly declined, saying health issues and family concerns are a bigger priority at this time. Antigua's Met Office says an excessive heat watch is in effect for Antigua Barbuda from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Tuesday, and California sees some of its worst weather in years as wind and rain lash the Pacific Northwest in a phenomenal bomb cyclone blamed for flooding and rock slides in California and two deaths in Washington state. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Of the hour news, as it happens, when it happens, wherever.